This is the big thing. Now, just not to get totally wiped out by this, because the more you look into this, the more spooky it is. And you kind of, you know, you get afraid of going outside the door if it's dark. All of this right now is coming the way it is because these guys are no longer in a position of strength, they're in a position of weakness, severe weakness. They won the August, they won the November election in the United States. Bush got re-elected. The Republicans won the majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. Seemingly, they won it all. Because of our very... LaRouche, basically... I had a picture of him, but... It's okay. You can get a picture of him. And because of the work we had been doing earlier, but LaRouche said, we have to fight this. We have to stand up. There has to be an opposition to the Cheney regime. And LaRouche says, fight, and if you fight, then you'll have a platform to win from. So some of the Democratic in the Senate and in the House of Representatives actually then did that. And that has led into a situation where just before the Senate went on vacation, Cheney and Bush could not get their people through the nomination process in the Senate. John Bolton, the new UN ambassador, they could not get him nominated. Other people, they could not get them through. So the privatization of Social Security that they were supposed to deliver to Wall Street, they have not been able to get it through. On the contrary, a whole group of senators in the Senate is right now moving into collaboration with the Democrats and basically saying, we stop this process. We might be Republicans, but we are Americans first and Republicans second. Now, this is the background why they are becoming desperate and they are, we are in so dangerous times in a certain sense. But if we do what we can do and what we should do, we will win. Because then we are back to this. Well, what about this thing with mental powers? What these guys go into this kind of mental powers from this kind of psychic, occultic kind of idea that you can get by saying certain spells, you can get the power over other people's mind, and you can twist it and you can abuse it and you can manipulate it for your devious schemes. Like some kind of James Bond movie or I don't know, some of these other movies. Now, what we do have, huh? Dr. No, or whatever he was called, right? But what we do have is we have something else, which is called the power of ideas, which has to do with mental powers.
So this
it has to do with the fact that we are human beings. We're not animals. We have the power. We have the power to actually recognize how this universe functions. We have the ability to actually willfully, in front of any challenge we might be confronted with, we are actually able to, if we train ourselves properly, to willfully come up, willfully become a genius, and willfully actually come up with solutions. This has to do with the fact that we are not animals, that we have a certain divine creative spark, that we have the possibility of actually creating something that was not there before, which intervenes and can change the universe. It has changed the surface of the earth. The surface of the earth is changed by the fact that human beings are here. Now, that special kind of power is the reason why we do not accept treating human beings as animals. That's the reason why every single human being has to have been born in Africa, South America, or even in Denmark, actually has to be nurtured, has to be brought up, has to have an education, has to have an ability to be educated in a way where you actually train your ability for creative thinking, for independent, for coming up with solutions to unknown problems. And where, when that happens, you create the most powerful force we know in the universe, much more powerful in a certain sense than the natural forces, in the long run, when it just gets possibility to be applied.
The power of ideas,
which means that you can physically change the universe. Now that's real power. It's extremely potent power, and that is, in a certain sense, the one side of it. And the other thing is, if you have a youth movement, if you, as young persons, decide not to be stupid, have a conspiracy not to be stupid, not to be dumbed down, not to waste your time and your mind on things that are simply created to make you more stupid. But you decide to actually find out what are the breakthroughs in human history, where did we actually make crucial discoveries, how did they come about, how did it happen. Try to recreate it from all different fields, whether it be music, whether it be art, whether it be mathematics, whether it be poetry, then this youth movement not only will have an insight, like right now in the United States, one of the reasons why things change in the United States is that a lot of these senators gets visited by young people, by limb members that are maybe 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, between 18 and 25 generally. They come in, they meet with the senator, they take up a laptop, place it on the table, and then they begin to give a crash course in what is economy to the senator. How the United States economy has changed, what it used to be, how it has been destroyed, how it can be revived.
So the senators are taking apprentices for the future.
The senators in general have, I mean, the way it works in the Senate is that these senators have an office with a staff. And this staff is composed of different people. Typically, you will always have some young people that either come as unpaid volunteers or then get hired and, you know, learn the tricks of the trade and so on and so forth. Our young people meet with a lot of them. They want to meet with our young people. Mm-hmm. But then also sometimes with the senators and so on. It's like you arrange a meeting, sometimes you meet with the senator, sometimes you meet with the aides, sometimes you meet with the aides, and then the senator talks to them and gets so interested that he will then join. But the point is, you have senators that have actually been involved in the U.S. political life for, say, the last 40 years in different positions. A lot of the senators used to be in their home state. Many of them were governors at some point. Has been in the House of Representatives, Senate locally. Then they went to the House of Representatives nationally. And then they ended up in the Senate. So they have a long, distinguished career behind them. They've been around. They've seen things. And when they sit down with somebody that's, say, 21 years old, and within half an hour, they understand things about economy they haven't understood for the last 40 years.
The senators are being taught by the young ones.
Yes. That's a shock.
Fuck.
How can it be that you can have somebody that's 21 years old and know more about economy than I do? That's what really freaks them out. Because then they say, you know, they kind of assume, but you just say this because you learned it, right? Let me see, where's your speech, where's the tape recorder? I know it must be there. You must have a black box like Bush on the back, you know, telling you what to say. And then they ask questions, you know. And then the young people says, oh, that's a very good question. Now look here. And then they go into the pamphlet and show the diagrams and discuss how it works. And this is the power of idea, because it's also the case that if you actually are in a critical situation like today, where the United States, like the rest of the world, is confronted with some very dramatic problems in front of it. If you at this situation have young people that are representing ideas and are together with an organization that actually has solutions, and they come in,
could be one of those young people, educating the system, and getting into the systems.
Well, it's see, the thing is, it's not in from inside the system. The thing is that you have, like any renaissance, at any point in history, and there's been, we wouldn't be here today if there hadn't been the case, because there's been this terrible, terrible routine where you have civilizations and they grow and everything's nice, and then they get lazy and dumb.
Yeah.
And civilization tends to collapse. And at that point, the reason we're here today is that the civilization we are the leftovers on, then young people have said, no, this is crazy. Let's go back, let's take the best part from history, and let's make that alive today. Let's take the highest principles, and let's make that the so to speak, the general rule. I do not want to measure myself against, you know, if I can have, you know, bigger breasts or any of all of these crazy things that's in the culture today, or I don't know what do young men, what are they fixated on these days? I don't know.
My roommates are on hash.
Okay.
MTV and
who can drink most? Who can smoke most hashes? Yeah. Or who can do most crazy things? Or who can get drunk most time during the night? Or you know, I don't know, crazy stuff. No. We measure up against the best minds and hearts from the past, and we make that our equals. That's our companions. And that's how you get a renaissance. That's how you set a totally new standard. And once young people do it, and it works, and other people can see that they can do things they can't do, then other young people say, we want to do that too. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to be stupid.
Have you tried to speak with the, like those Theosophana and so Theosophana and the teams for the other?
Not especially. Are you
politically impotent? Du har snakket med dem.
Ja, men jeg kender jer. Jeg har
ikke
gjort
det på et andet.
Jo, de arbejder på
et andet måde.
I mean, it's like you have to realize that when you have this thing like these military guys, is what they're trying to do is to find they're trying to cheat, they're trying to find a shortcut. They're saying, if we could just figure out how to walk through the wall, we don't have to have a huge military and build this and build. We don't have to have an economy. We don't have to have all of this. Right?
Rudolf Steiner?
No, these spoonbenders.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like it's instead of saying it's a lot of this. The problem is that instead of developing your mind and developing your powers and doing that passionately, because it's not always so easy. You have to fight. You have to. It's you don't just, you know, get everything instantaneously. This guy Gauss tried to read his papers, and you'll figure out that it's kind of it takes you a year, 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. It's tough work. But see, so some people will say no, but that's too much hard work. This is what the spoonbenders do. If we could just sit down and then you fantasize yourself to something instead, it's much easier. Mm. But
I think that
it doesn't work.
That new age thing they're doing, I think that is a lot hard, difficult work. It's
No, but it's like you have to imagine from their mindset. It's like they want to be able to cheat. They want to find an easy way.
They want to find some tricks. You know,
yes.
Like.
And I just want we have to look into it, and I'm sure we will look into it much more. All of this Hollywood, all of this you have on the television, all of the shows, all of this, what is it called, the X-Files, you have all of these, a lot of these stuff. These guys are into that. I mean, it's like they are there. They don't know what's real or what's spooky or what is, it's like this guy says Luke Skywalker, and they're into all of, they kind of have this. Sometimes they go through this. This guy runs going, John Ronson goes through how a lot of these weapons, the new weapons they invent, is actually taken from the movies. You know, they have this fixation on what they call non-lethal weapon. A non-lethal weapon is basically a weapon which, at least in 25% of the cases, will not kill the person. This is like a stun gun. This is like.
But the cool thing is that, I don't know if it's cool, but they have made like weapons that shoot with sound. And
yeah.
Weapons that shoot with foam. And
yeah. Exactly. All of these things. That's out of these spoon binders. Now the point is, though, all of these so-called non-lethal weapons are not non-lethal. This is the problem with Abu Ghraib. A lot of these people, where they do these non-lethal torture techniques, actually die. So you kill them. Because it's kind of a game. Now the problem is also that, as you've seen, this with Abu Ghraib, where does it come from? This comes from this desperation that these people have. They say, we want to win wars, but we do not want to obey the laws of nature. We do not want to obey the laws of military warfare. We want to win wars the easy way. So you don't want to have a big army or big, you know, they want to say, we have 2,000 special troops and they go in and take over Iraq, kind of thing. And then they fantasize. Now the problem is, then what happens is reality hits, and then they say, "Aha!" But then we have to use any kind of means to get things back in order, which means we have to have intelligence. How do we get these people? Oh, but then we have these experts that has been working on mind war, has been working on all of these things. Let's call in the experts. They were called to Guantanamo first. The Guantanamo base on Cuba, and then they made all of their stuff there, and then when things weren't working out in Iraq like it was supposed to do, and we need more intelligence, they took the experts from Guantanamo and flew them to Iraq and instructed in how can we actually have mind war against the enemy. How can we, all of this with sex, all of this with religion, it's all part of this. How can we, what is most sacred to people? What do they hold most dear? That you have to destroy. That's how they think. Because then you show that you are more powerful than they are. Then you show there is no God. At least not a God on their side. It's satanic in a certain sense. It's really, the purpose is that anything that is good, that is beautiful, that people have as sacred, that you have to destroy. That's the whole idea.
Even in the training facilities, where they would train people on these kind of techniques, they would, for example, piss on Bibles and stuff, and
yes,
to provoke the American soldiers.
I mean,
to understand how to break the boundaries. And
I mean,
they would use that to.
These people that do this in Guantanamo, they were actually people that were training American soldiers, special forces. Like if you have in the Danish, in the Danish elite soldiers. When, as part of it, they had this program once, I think most people at some point or another have seen. Very good program on how you train them.
I have seen that.
And then in the end, once they are, so to speak, they basically are through, then you train them. Then they brought in like the British soldiers from Northern Ireland to boil them over, you know, where they take them in, they undress them, they put a thing over their head so they can't breathe, they tie them around, they do all kinds of things, they mentally abuse them, they try to get them to break. That's the whole idea. And you do it in order to find out how do they react under stress, because you don't want them to go out and be caught by the enemies and then break down over there, so they have to learn how to deal with it. Now, the people in the US who were doing this and who was observing this, which is kind of a satanic thing to do anyway, they were then said, aha, now we need results in Guantanamo. You're the experts, come in. And all of this stuff is then being reversed. How can what we did from the purpose of defending ourselves is then being used? How can we use it to destroy the others? Mm. All of the mental tricks we learned, how can we use that to get them? That's mind war. That's the whole thing.
But there is a program. I don't know if that is the program you saw. I think it was on the National Geographic Discovery, two parts in for 2 hours, which was about how you made this great soldier. Because under the Second World War, two psychologists find out that it was only about 15% of the soldiers that actually fired, like you said, they fired open, they don't, because of the reasons. And then afterwards, the military wanted to make this evil soldiers.
I mean, there's been a lot of programs.
Yeah.
They probably have 5 a week these days. I mean, this is something. Now, the other thing which you then just, that comes to mind, of course, is these other projects that's been going on. You have the whole movie industry, this kind of stuff. Then you have the whole games industry, which is an outgrowth of military training programs. All of these killing programs have the big advantage that if you have been sitting, and this is why they made them, that you have to train people in killing other people. Now, the way they were doing that in Sparta was that they were sending out people and killing some of the, you know, slaves. They can't do that here, even though they probably would like to. So what you do instead is you make these special computer programs where you sit all day and kill people. And once you've done that and you're used to kill people, fire them, shoot them, then it's easier to do it. Because you are already it's a little bit like playing the piano, you know.
Well, I didn't see that with the computer games, but I know that they are, when they're shooting at targets, they're not only shooting at those slices with round circles, but they're actually shooting at puppets.
No, but that's why you got all of these killing computer games.
Is that true?
Yes.
Have you got some material about that?
We've written quite a bit on it.
Mm-hmm.
No, the idea is, and that's how you get these, for instance, you have in the United States, these incidences, where actually quite young people you have some which have been around arms, but you also have young people who have not been much around arms, but who are computer freaks, who then goes out and kills 7-8 other people with perfect headshots because they've been trained. I mean, they just poom, 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 poom. They're really good. They're high score. And they don't, and the natural mechanism that will come in, like...
Was that Columbine?
There's been a lot of them, actually.
I don't think it's because of the computer games.
Now,
shooting with a mouse is
the point.
Things.
No, you don't shoot with a mouse, you shoot with a gun.
Yeah, but I mean, the computer games where you shoot with a gun like this.
No, I mean, that's primitive. I mean, most of these that are into it, they have certain tools, you know, you shoot with a gun.
But you can get practice everywhere in the United States.
The point is, normally what happens when you're in front of killing another person is that something kicks in, which is a good thing.
Yeah, got him.
That you can't. This is the problem you have. That a soldier standing in front of another soldier, a new soldier that's not been a trained killer machine, cannot just kill another person. You cannot do that. You can't. Now that is overcome that way, and that was used for that. So you can actually, I mean, it gets very nasty if you really look around in the culture and you see how all of this stuff is being manipulated with this and this and this. And it doesn't mean that we all, that because you play computer games, you're automatically a killer machine that goes around and shoot everybody. But it does mean that that certain people are consciously having programs to develop certain kinds of skill and kind of try to have this, they have this idea of the perfect soldier. Of having a soldier who has no inner idea, no inner principle of what is right and what is wrong. But only listen to what is the command I get and then you carry it out. And this is a big problem in the US Army. Yeah, I mean, here in the Army, in the German tradition, which also is the Danish tradition, the emphasis in training a military army has always been you have to train the power of the individual soldier to make the right decision. You have what they called Auftragstaktik, which means that you get a mission. That a local officer gets to know, this is what, you have to take that hill before, within the next 5 hours. How you do it is up to you, because the staff is not in place, they don't know all the details. You have to make the decision. But in order to do that, every soldier has to be capable of making good judgment. You have to think. Now in the US Army, there's been this cult saying, we don't want that.
We don't want them to obey orders.
Exactly. And but well, how do you do it then? But then you have need some censoring unit. Then you need basically every soldier should have cameras on, so they get the information, so they can make decisions for them. And then they have these plans. At that time, you do that, and then you know these ridiculous plans, you know, which never work anyway. But this is again, this is the Roman soldier idea. This is the idea that the soldier should never be asked to make judgment. The soldier should just carry out orders. If you order the soldier to kill, he kills. That's a real soldier. And this is the and then you can fight about who should have the control of the soldier. Who should give him orders. Now, again, this goes back to this idea that for us, if you say, or for a nation state, you say, what kind of soldiers do you want? Do you want professional killer soldiers? Or do you want citizen soldiers? You want people that do defend their country, you know, against an invasion. But the problem with these soldiers is that they will say, but if you say, go out there and invade another country and kill everybody, they'll say, why should I do that? It's not my country. I defend my country, I'll give my life to defend my country. But why should I go out and get killed for somebody else's, you know? So from a sovereign nation state, that's the kind of soldiers you want. You don't want the killing machines. The other side want the Roman soldiers, they want this.
What about the British soldiers? Are they trained? Because I heard in that documentary, I heard there was a story about when the English went to the Falkland Islands. They were like this, and there were 500 men, and they were killing Argentinian soldiers a lot, and then there were 300 English British soldiers who survived the Falkland Islands, and 200 of them committed suicide afterwards because they couldn't live with what they had done. So are the British still practicing that method?
They there was in the old day. All I know is that in the old days when you had these NATO maneuvers, when we had the Cold War, the British soldiers were infamous. That when, for instance, you had a NATO maneuver in Denmark, they would put barbed wire around the British soldier camps. You didn't want them to go near your civilian population, because they were nuts. They were simply nuts.
They put barbed wire around what?
Around the camp where you have the British soldiers.
Okay, so they couldn't get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are stories today, running right now, about British soldiers raping Danish soldiers when they are here for
training.
Yeah. I don't know what that implies. But
oh my God.
No, but it is. You have this imperial tradition, which is very bad, because again, an imperial army has to, that is the Roman legion, that is the idea. The way the Romans solved it, and the way the British often solved it, is that you would then move around the troops, so the people who would have to commit atrocities would never come from the area where they would have to commit it. So you never have the troops coming from the local area, you always send them somewhere else, where they could be cold-blooded. You know, if you...
This is also the British soldiers' role in Northern Ireland against the Irish. Which they have... They're being used directly.
Because they have a national hatred? Maybe.
No, because they will not... You they don't get polluted by it being soft for the locals.
So the British soldiers are not in Ireland, are not Irish, but they are from England. Was that? Yeah, okay.
So, but it's on top of all of this, this is kind of, and you have to read it, and it's a little bit nasty because you don't, but we have to defeat these guys. Yeah?
The other aspect is that the British soldiers that have been exposed, that they have been involved in terrorist acts, in provocative acts, in infiltration of, supposedly in infiltration of the other side, but actually carrying out terrorist acts themselves, and this line between keeping the peace and actually making terrorist actions gets blurred.
Oh my God, that is
this
creepy.
Is no, but this is, you have again. Why yeah, did okay. Where did September 11th, 9/11? Where did 9/11 come from? And where, who is playing in a new one right now? And this is really our role, because right now we had a delegation of four going down to Leipzig today. The Danish cavalry is coming down to help the campaign. we have us down there already, and it's because there is this trick being played. Right now in the German election, the German population is freaked out about the austerity programs that Schröder has been making.
Why is that?
Because he gets crazy, because he has been cutting down the standard of living for the poor people. The people in Eastern Germany, they see no jobs, they see things are getting worse and worse, and they say this is a rotten deal. Now, what they then want to do is to exploit this to get people to then say, then we vote against Schröder, and then instead we will have we're tired of this, we'll have a change of government. And the change of government then will be to get a CSU leadership of government, changing Germany to become an ally to Bush and to the neoconservatives. To make sure that Germany will be, together with Denmark, and Britain, and the United States,
and France, ultimately.
Then France will go along, of course. They will not, if Germany goes along, France will go along, because they want to have a piece of the cake,
crucial.
Too. It is.
Yeah. Then.
And it's.
Yeah. And then.
No, it's actually. And this is what is.
So Hitler won anyway. Oh my God.
This is, in a certain sense, what we're talking about, because. Again, we have documented it earlier in this book, Children of Satan. these neoconservatives, their ideology, their way of looking at the world and looking at man, is the same as the ideologies behind the Nazis. This is Leo Strauss. This is this idea that, that you have to be a beastman, that might makes right, that 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 only that that also these people, Christianity is. These are the people that say Christianity is such a weak religion. Mm. You know, people turn the other chin. You know, this is not the kind of Christianity that the White House right now is preaching. It's not turn the other cheek.
No, that is not the problem.
Right?
No,
it's throw a nuclear bomb now. God damn it. Wipe them out.
They hit you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's actually worse than the...
Has nothing to do with Christianity. Yeah. Now, the point is, this
they,
is...
They use Jesus Christ in the background to support their ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the kind of Nazi Christianity.
Weird.
Which is not really, it's just you say, my say Christianity, this is like, and this again, it comes back because the ideology goes back to the 20s and 30s with these kind of thinking, you have the same thing, and then you see the intelligence networks coming out back then from at the end of World War II. Going to South America, especially the Red Line going down to South America, saving the Nazis, getting them into position other places, because they said the Nazis are the best anti-communists around. You know?
Yeah.
A good Nazi SS Gestapo officer will kill communists with his bare hands. That's the kind of guy we need. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, he'll kill them for fun. You know, just give him guns and he'll kill. You don't even have to, you know, it's that's the mentality that took over with Truman. That's the kind of thing that, that we're struggling with until today, basically. Because that these networks have been there, and sometimes they've had a low profile, other times they come up over ground. And that's what we're dealing with. And therefore also, for instance, one aspect to, or even when it comes to a new September 11, is therefore to use Hispanics. Because you have in South America, South and Central America, a lot of fascist networks. This is not Protestant networks, this is a Catholic networks. These are the Franco people. These are the people that thought that Franco was doing a great job in defending the faith against the commies.
But they still do.
Huh?
They still do.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard something about
that. And they can also be used to provoke something like that.
I heard that the friend of Blister, went to South America.
And to Paraguay, I think.
What?
Paraguay. There's a lot of Nazis down there.
And he did something with fascism down there.
I know Rumsfeld just went to Paraguay and got very good relations with them down there, which is not so strange.
Not so difficult either.
they were one of the... you had a lot of Germans going to Paraguay.
Yeah.
Fuck!
Yeah.
Fuck!
It was one of the main...
But I mean, that was like 60 years ago.
Yeah, but it,
are the grandchildren not the same? Or
yeah, no. I mean, you have to realize that these even these Nazi networks. I mean, you have fundies, you have money. They took out a lot of money, a lot of loot from Eastern Europe, especially, and from Germany, from Jews, and a lot of these money have later been used for all kinds of stuff. It's also nasty stuff.
It's also ideology, because you know also today you can even get the Danes to hate Islam, and you say, but this, you know, where they war against Islam, you know, the danger of the Ottoman Empire was way way behind, you know, some hundred years ago, but it's still there. You know, it's strange, but it's there. It is a question of ideology. It's, you know, if you have the ideology which is based on hate.
the fight for this ideology.
Is there in the families, in the people, I mean the people who were oppressed with that ideology?
But
they should be there all the time.
But then you also have to see there's another aspect in this idea of mind war. And actually, I think Denmark will be an interesting place to study, because we have been one of the key laboratory for a lot of stuff.
Scientology, maybe.
Because we are
Scientology inside this. I heard there's some mafia in Scientology.
I actually, if you saw this guy here, I immediately thought of John Travolta.
No.
John Travolta. He is. Because John Travolta, that's Scientology, and they are into a lot of this stuff. But I'm not saying the same network, but they have a lot of this spooky mind control. Ron Hubbard came out of the U.S. Navy. The whole stuff of Scientology, the whole training program is based on a Navy training program. He was an intelligence officer. Scientology, in that sense, is, like the Moonies, an intelligence operation. With a big part also of earning a lot of money, of creating a lot of money which you can use then for different things. And there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff in it that one could investigate. But back to Denmark. Because Denmark is a little, very controlled place where you then can make funny experiments. Well, you can. We had, for instance, Christiania had a large part of that. This was not a local thing. NATO was deeply involved in creating the whole thing. It's an experiment. What happens to a country if you do such a thing? How do people respond to it? You know, experiment. See, it's very interesting. Now, there is something very curious here, because how is it possible that you can have a country like Denmark, where we have for many hundred years been a neutral country? We are a very little country, we are a very neutral country, we have always been considering ourselves a very peaceful country. How is it possible that this country suddenly, with the backing of the population, is a country that goes into war? This is not... This is like... Where does it come from? How could it happen? Because it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing to say, hey, let's go down to Iraq and occupy Iraq. The natural thing is to say, let's stay the hell out of that. We don't want to get into trouble. So there is somehow also here, there's been a shift, and shifts don't come by themselves. And this is why I say this thing, for instance, when you look at this with Iran. Look, that's how suddenly everybody's speaking about Iran, uranium, Iran, 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 atom bomber, Iran, atom bomber, Iran, atom bomber, Iran, atom bomber. You know, that's how it works. And people don't know what's hit them. They just know that they have this very bad feeling in the stomach that Iran is coming up with atomic weapons and somebody should do something about it. And we know it because when we go out on the street and we say we have to stop a war against Iran, a lot of people say, no, bomb them. They want to bomb them.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
passionately. No, because they say, because they have been shifted. They have this idea, like with Iraq. In Denmark, in the United States, the Iraq war is getting very unpopular. Not in Denmark, because we have not had any body bags. We have not had people coming back killed. We've had a very clean war. I mean, the Danish military have been having a real clean war. I think we had one guy getting killed by another Danish soldier.
But maybe it's because we also have... You know, I'm not totally against the... If it was Denmark that had stood for the occupation of Iraq and with Danish soldiers, and maybe I could have approved the war if it was not because of the oil. I think it's because we don't know that the American soldiers are psycho soldiers.
No, it's you have to
It's not the soldiers, it's the policy. You see, when you have to go to war based on lies, based on ancient lies, but what does it mean? What does it mean for the morals, even this nation? You know, we are in war, and we it is, it breaks a part of your soul, you know? Actually, it destroys humanity in the population. And therefore what we see right now in the US, Bush has only 30% of support. Never ever had a president.
But I think, I think it's weird because it's not because that many civilians have died, or it's not because that they went wrong to war because of the wrong reasons. The weird thing and the ugly thing is that they are against the war now just because Americans are there.
Yeah, but
that's the weird thing.
But that's not. But so the real weird thing is the Americans. You can say they've been manipulated. They've been stupid. They've been all of this. How could you get to a point where